This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Today is July 8th, 2022. My name is Jason Cutter. Thanks for tuning in, whether you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, live. You could be listening to this on the podcast as a replay, on the website as a replay. No matter what, thank you for being here. Thanks for tuning in. So glad that you're here on a Friday. It is noon Eastern. I've been doing these on Fridays at noon Eastern. I'm going to shift them to Thursdays. I think that might be a better time starting next week. Last week, I was off. I didn't do one. It was the end of the quarter, beginning of a new quarter, the Friday before a holiday weekend. I figured, hey, let's take a break from these for myself and for everyone else, because I'm sure everyone was busy or off on a Friday afternoon. But we're back. Session 37 was last 2 weeks ago. In that one, I talked about controlling your day. If you didn't check that one out, make sure to find the replay. Again, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, podcast, cutterconsultinggroup.com website. You can find it everywhere on there. Look for session 37 of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Sessions. And that one was really good. I got some great feedback from people, because that's about controlling your day. When you're in sales, one of the things that happens is you just get into a reactionary mode. You come in, you look at your emails, you check your voicemails, and then you just start responding to things. Next thing you know, you're not getting your prospecting activities, your outbound activities, you're not getting the things done that you need to get done from that perspective. And so what happens is then you're not planting new seeds. You're not having things that you can harvest down the road. And what will happen is in 1 to 3 months, you'll notice that you don't have new sales, and it's because of what you were doing. And you really have to be intentional. You really have to focus on making sure that you're the one who's controlling your day, because that is so important to be doing that, because it's your career, it's your finances, it's your job. If you're self-employed, it's all about you and no one else. And so there's so many reasons. So make sure to check out number 37, that session from a couple weeks ago. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. So glad that you're here. Super excited on whatever platform. I do this as part of my mission. And I used to mention all the time, and I think it's a good time to do a recap on this. So I have come to realize that one of the biggest things for me is to help facilitate transformation. That's what I feel like my life is focused on, and where I put my energy and what drives me and the impact I can have on others, on the world, on myself, is facilitating transformation in three ways. The first one is to enable and encourage those light bulb moments. Nothing makes me more excited than when somebody has a challenge, or somebody doesn't know how to do something, or somebody wants to do something different. Give them some insight, help them train, coach, lead, just even give them some nugget, a book to read, and then they use that information. It works, that light bulb goes off, and then they make that change. So that's the most fun thing that I enjoy. It just gives me so much energy. The second one is to help underdogs win their game, not the game, not my game, not other people's games, but win their game. A lot of times people like myself, so I definitely was an underdog. I still think I'm an underdog. It's still that mindset that I have, but I feel like I'm not as good as others, or I don't have the skills as others, or I see what others do, and that's not me, and it just isn't happening, and got to work harder, and that's okay. If you want something, you got to put in the effort. I like coming from behind to win instead of just being the one who's always winning, right? And I love to help other people who don't think they can do something, but they truly can. And they truly want to, right? For people in sales, they fell into sales, they got into sales, they needed a job, and they ended up in sales, whatever that path, where they've always wanted to be in sales and now they're challenged, whatever that path might be, now you're in sales. You want to win, you want to succeed, but you feel like you're an underdog, right? Maybe you're not the natural born salesperson, which is a topic for another day. However you want to be successful. And so I love helping the underdogs, because that's my mode and how I see myself. And I always want to support that person, not the dominant one. I want to help the other people as well. And then the third one is to leave people better than I found them. It's one of the things that I do all the time. Whenever I'm doing anything, whenever I'm engaging with anybody, I don't make a overly strong effort to do that. I just do that as my mode. I just want to leave people better than I found them. Might be at the grocery store, might be at the office, might be in passing. who knows? I just want to do that. So that's why I do this as well, is to help with those light bulb moments, help you if you feel like an underdog and you want to be successful in sales and you just haven't figured it out yet, and to leave you better than I found you. That's what I want to do here. And Jason Mefford, I was on his podcast recently, he says at the beginning of his shows is that if you're here, if you're tuning in, there's something that you're going to get from this. There's some reason, there's some purpose. It might be one thing, might be one phrase. I might've already said it so far, who knows, but there's one thing. If you're here, just be aware of that. Look for that. There's a reason you're tuning in either live or on the replay. And so I appreciate that the universe has brought you to me to this moment. And hopefully there's something valuable here that will help your sales career. So now let's talk about today's topic. So session 38, that's today. And the focus is enrolling versus selling. Now, what does that mean? What is that? Is that just a play on words? What does that look like? Am I just avoiding the word sales by saying enrolling? Well, let's really dive into that. And I want to help shift the mindset and help you focus on the reason behind those different words. When we talk about sales and selling, selling and sales to me generally has a connotation of something I'm doing to you. Right? When I'm selling you something, I'm selling you something to do something to you. I want you to buy from me. I'm selling you because I want to convince you. I want to have you become a customer or buy from me or whatever that may look like. Now, you could do it with good intentions, right? Like my Selling with Authentic Persuasion and the book that I wrote, right? Obviously, that's to help people with the most positive way possible and moving them forward and doing it for their reasons and helping them accomplish what they want, right? Get them to a better place, like I said, with my mission and doing that as their guide. So that's part of it, right? And you could have that piece, right? Sales, selling, it doesn't have to be negative. A lot of people see sales, and I talk about this a lot in all the stuff that I do, as a negative, right? Sales is something that has a negative connotation. It could be a dirty word. A lot of people out there in the world see sales as something that's gross, right? I would rather do anything in the world but be in sales. Right? You see that a lot in companies where somebody is working in different departments other than sales, and they would basically quit if they were made to move over into the sales team because they see sales as that thing that you're doing to people. And maybe it's they think that sales, to be successful, it's manipulation, right? It's tricking people. It's convincing people. It's forcing people. It's full of rejection and confrontation and all these different things, the ups and downs, just like the mental toll of what sales is like and the people they've seen or the movies they've watched. And they think that's what sales or, and they think about sales. The world thinks about sales from their own perspectives as a customer. So maybe they've been a customer out there in the world and they've dealt with a salesperson, and then they've had a negative experience or heard of somebody else who had a negative experience, and they made up in their mind, that's what sales is. And again, I talk about this a lot, so this might sound familiar from what I've covered before, but I think it's really important because that's what we're trying to shift. That's why I do what I do, is to help two sides. One is I want to shift ultimately the mindset of customers, and I'm a customer as well. So I'm doing this from a selfish, self-centered place. Also, I want customers to be able to trust that if they engage with a salesperson, that that person is actually a professional and actually knows their responsibility and role to help the customer and will do so as a guide, as a professional, as the things that I talk about. I want to be able to reach out to a company or walk on a car dealership lot or walk into a furniture store or whatever that might be and know that when I do, I'm going to get a professional who's going to help me and actually knows what that means, right? Most of the time, that's not what occurs. Now, I'm not saying that everyone is bad or using manipulation or on the dark side of sales, not saying that at all. There's a lot of people who you walk into that dealership or that furniture store, or you call them up and they're nice people and they know their product and they want to help you. Doesn't mean they're good at it. Doesn't mean they're a professional. Sometimes they're an order taker. Sometimes they're somewhere in the middle. There's also a lot of good people out there who have figured it out on their own, what it means to be a sales professional, and they operate at an amazing level. Those are always the people I gravitate to, and then I will do repeated business with, because I appreciate working with and buying from a professional, someone who knows what they're supposed to do. Most of the rest of the time, that's not what we interact with. We interact with one of the extremes or the other, right? The pushy old school salesperson or the order taker who's nice, friendly, builds rapport, but doesn't understand that I need guidance. I need wisdom. I need help. So on one side of what I focus on and why I do these is my own selfish reasons, but for the world as well. Imagine a million authentic persuaders in the world, all helping people like a sales professional, coming from a place of a sales professional, having that mindset, and then having the strategies and the processes in place to actually fulfill that, what the customers are looking for. How would that change the world for us as customers? And then on the flip side too, is I think it's important because salespeople a lot of times don't understand what their role is, which is why I do this. And if you want more information on this, if you haven't gotten a copy of this already, make sure to get a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion. It's available hard copy, Audible. You can reach out to me directly and I can send you a copy, just cover shipping and handling. But that is a great guide to get you started on this. So a lot of times, again, going back to what people think, they don't want to be in sales because of what they think sales is doing. And again, I see that a lot of times from people in other departments, other places and companies, other people just in general, like just looking at sales as this thing here. Doesn't always have to be true. But in general, the connotation, the feeling can be that sales and selling is something I'm doing to you. Now, what's interesting is that there's a lot of people, and this, I mentioned this on a podcast the other day when I was talking to somebody, I was on there as a guest, is talking about closes and strategies, you know, and asking for the sale. And it goes to this feeling that people like to buy, they don't like to be sold to. Some people actually say people like to be sold to. Those people are the ones who are generally more aggressive because they like to be sold to, or they like the battle and confrontation as a customer. They love going toe to toe with a salesperson and going 10 rounds with them. And so they just think everyone else sees it the same way, right? Like I literally hear people say constantly, people like to be sold. And that might be true. It just depends on where the emphasis is in that. But selling is generally that. I've got this thing. I want you to buy it. Hopefully it will benefit you. I'm looking at that. Now, let's look at the flip side, right? Or the other term that I personally do not use enough. I use sales and selling in a lot of my podcasts and a lot of these training and a lot of the things that I write. Obviously, it's about sales and selling. I titled my book Selling with Authentic Persuasion because I wanted to be clear that if you're in a sales role, if you're running a sales team, like this is for you. I could have called it Enrolling with Authentic Persuasion, but that wouldn't necessarily appeal to people, you know, when they look at it really quickly, but that's really what it could be titled. Here's the difference to me. When somebody is enrolling in something, they're signing up for something, and it's more of a process. It's more of, here's this program or here's this item. I'm enrolling in it. Obviously, it's more service-based than just product-based. There's a determination if it's a good fit or not. Do I qualify or not? Is there a benefit or not? And then it's admin, it's paperwork. When somebody thinks about enrolling in something, I'm enrolling in insurance, I'm enrolling in this program to help me with my debt, I'm enrolling in school, right, in college, it's something I'm doing that's a process, and then I'm going to get some benefit, and I'm doing it for a reason. There's some reason I'm enrolling in this service. And to me, when we think about that, from your perspective as a salesperson, it's totally different. Because when I think about I'm selling you or I bought this program, no, I'm enrolling in this program. And the enrolling part, here's the big key. This is the part that I want you to understand. No matter what phrase you use, I mean, I think a lot of this is everyone has a different kind of spin on words and language, right? Persuasion. Some people like that. Some people hate that and think influence. Some people don't like influence. They like this. Like people could debate the words themselves. I think the intentions behind it are what matters the most. Both sales, selling, and then on the other side, enrollment. The key is when I think of enrollments, when I think of enrolling, when I think I'm going to enroll you into this, right? I'm going to enroll you into my vision. I'm going to enroll you into my mission. And I want you as a watcher or a listener of this episode to help me spread this in the world, right? And change the world of sales so that it would change everything and trickle down as customers. When I'm enrolling you into that, that's a we conversation. That means it's you and me, right? That means it's us. I am enrolling you in this. And of course, there's going to be some benefit to me. But to me, that's more we're on the same time. And I say this a lot. It's super important to understand when sales is done in a way that the customer is looking for, right? I won't say right or wrong because that's very dangerous, right? There is no right, wrong, good, or bad, but in a way that the other person is looking for, then sales is truly service. Sales is a service. Sales is something you're doing for them and with them. And I think the with part is not focused on enough, where that is truly important. It's truly critical to make sure that it's a with conversation. When I'm enrolling you in something, like I'm enrolling you in my vision or my mission, it's us, it's we, right? We're on this path together. I am enrolling you. Now, of course, you could enroll yourself. You don't need me in that, right? Like you go to the DMV, you've got somebody helping you. Sure, they're enrolling you in this, but do you, you know, you could do that on your own. Maybe there's a part where there's a we when somebody needs help and they need guidance. One of the biggest things that helped me when I made this shift years and years ago and then started training people on this is when we're enrolling somebody, it's a we conversation. What is the we, right? It's not just I'm helping you because now it's me and you, but it's like me here and then you here, or me here, you're there, and I'm still going to benefit from this and you may or may not benefit. The we is really a mindset shift about it's us versus something. And I think this is really important. The more you can get this down, the more you can kind of make this a part of both your mindset and your language, is that it is a us versus something, right? It could be us versus your debt, could be us versus your, you know, your finances. It'd be us versus your current state. And we want to get you to a better state with setting up your retirement accounts. It's anything like that. It could be us versus whatever, right? It could be us versus the world. We're on this mission and it's us versus others, right? It's us versus what we think is the injustice or what is wrong, or we want to change, we want to get better, or where we want to go. A lot of people I see who are great in sales, and I think from a professional standpoint, not just a closing effectiveness, but also as a professional and providing a great service that people appreciate, they use a lot of we language. And what's interesting, and I took a screenshot on my phone of this the other day because I saw something on Instagram about this, where it was actually talking about managers and leaders. And it was talking about, you know, what managers do and what leaders do. And one of those things was leaders use a lot of we language. And the reason why is they're enrolling you. A good leader is not about pushing. Managers push, right? And there's times when you have to be a manager where you have to push on people, right? That's just how it is. I'm not saying, you know, a leader never has to push. There's times where you got to switch into management mode and we got to do some management. That happens. As a leader, when you're in leader mode, you're pulling, you're not pushing. You're enrolling people in your vision, in your mission. You're getting the people involved who have the same core values and they want to head the same direction. You're enrolling them, you're pulling them with you, and they're on the journey with you. If we think of any big leaders that most people can think of by name that come to mind, they're enrolling people in the vision. They're not selling people on the vision. They're not tricking people in the vision. They're not, you know, given the hard sell, they're enrolling, they're laying it out there. They're getting people to see it. And then they're getting the right people to follow them. Fascinatingly enough, and I wrote about this in a chapter of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, is that I view the same thing for sales. Your job as a salesperson is to be a leader. Now, I don't mean manager. I don't mean supervisor. I don't mean director of sales. I mean a leader of that conversation. of that prospect who's looking for guidance and looking for help. Sales, selling, to me, feels like something you're doing to them, right? I'm selling you. Enrolling as a leader means it's something I'm doing with you. We are on this mission together. And when you use we language in a sales conversation, now it's you and the prospect together on the same team going up that mountain, crossing that finish line together, facing all the adversities that will come in the way during your sales process, like not enough money, not access to money, have to get permission from someone else, have to check with someone else, have to do some research, have to do with this, this, or this, all those things that come up, right? Whether they're objections or just obstacles, those come up just like any hero's journey, right? If you watch anything from Lord of the Rings to Harry Potter to Star Wars, they're all hero's journeys. There's always obstacles. There's always things that come up that are unexpected. Your job is to be the guide, the leader, and help them there. When you're enrolling, you're getting them to see the vision, and then you're pulling them with you to their finish line. And you're doing it in a way where you're using we language, right? Our language, us language. You're saying those things just like a leader would. Like if you think about it, if you work at a company and you are fortunate to have a boss, manager, somebody above you, that is actually a good leader. They say we things. Like, what are we going to accomplish today? Our mission is this. We are looking at doing this. We want to do this, right? Not you guys do this, you do that. We want you to, you need to do this. Like, it's we language. We're all on the same team. For better or worse, we're in this together. In the sales role, it's the same thing. You want to make sure to use those language, because when you do, now you're enrolling them, and not just enrolling them into your service, not just enrolling them into what it is that you're selling, but you're enrolling them into the vision. You're enrolling them into the mission, and you're enrolling them as a partner working with them. Obviously going to get paid, because that's what you're doing in sales, right? We're not just taking orders and we're not just doing this as a charity, but when there's value and there's benefit, you should be getting paid. The more value, the more benefit, or the more people you can enroll, the more the benefit's going to be to you. And that's just the bottom line. That's what makes sales amazing, makes sales challenging for other people to get, is that balance there with it. But when you're doing that, when you're enrolling them in it, again, they're part of the vision and the mission. Now, a lot of you might be listening, watching this and thinking, well, what I sell doesn't have a vision. It doesn't have a mission. For example, I can think of, you know, people who are selling into states that have where you can choose your energy, right? It's under deregulated energy states where they can switch energy providers, gas providers. There's not a big vision. It's not a big mission. It's not about changing the world. Like, it's not going to change people's lives. But again, it can. And it might be a small way, but if you can save people money or help them get into a contract where they can plan their budget or whatever that might be, if there's really a benefit for it, that's the big part, is if there's a benefit to it and you enroll them into it, then there's some reason, there's some value, there's some benefit, there's some direction they could be going, and it's still you versus their current provider, if you will, you versus their current budget and or their financial struggles, you versus the fact that they can't get to where they want to go financially and save for vacations or save to buy a new house or pay off their debts, right? And if obviously they could lower their bills or deal with their finances, they could, right? Now it's you and them versus fill in the blank here. And I think it's really important to focus on that. The more you can shift your mind, the more you can shift your mindset, and the more you can shift your process, and lastly, most importantly, the more you can shift your language to looking at enrolling as really the role that you have. And again, play on words. Some people will debate it and say it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter. People don't care if you call it selling or enrolling. I will disagree based on all of my experience. You can sell. You can be in a selling mode and do it in a positive way. When you do that from a mindset of enrolling people into your service, like you would be enrolling them into a mission or a vision that you have, it also becomes so much easier. Because then at that mode, it's not about pushing. It's not about tricking. It's not about manipulating. It's not about bribing. It's not about giving them a deal at the end of the month just to get the deals done, right? Sometimes that helps. But if that's your normal mode, then you're in manipulation mode and you can't win long-term when you rely on manipulating people to succeed. So the key is, remember, this is a mindset game. Whatever words you want to use, the key thing I want you to take away from this is, again, that sales, when done properly for the benefit of both you and the customer, is service. Sales is something you're doing for them and with them when you're enrolling from a leadership perspective, versus sales being something you're doing to them. Old school manipulation mode, that's something you're doing to them instead. And so make sure to just shift that in your mind and be aware of your language. Here's what I want you to do as a takeaway, as a homework assignment, which I definitely don't give out enough practical things for people to take away and really put into place on something like this, on a topic like this, is look at the language you use over the next week. Next week, Monday through Friday, in those 5 days, just be aware. Kind of, if you can, in the moment, in your calls, in your conversations, your video conferences, your in-person meetings, trade shows, wherever, whatever you've got going on next week, step back, kind of try to look at it from the outside perspective. Imagine if you're listening to a recording of your phone call after the fact. In the moment, just see what words you're using. Are you using, I am going to do this for you? That means it's all about you, right? You're selling them. You think you're the hero. I'm going to get you in this program. I'm going to save you all this money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That makes it all about you, right? And those things might be true, but that's not what people want to hear, right? The program, we will, our company will, I'm going to help you get to this. Like, those are different things. Look at your language. What are you doing when you're talking about someone with their finances, especially if you're doing any kind of consumer enrollments where you're dealing with somebody's debt, their finances, things like that? What language are you using, right? Is it we? Is it inclusive? Is it make them feel like you're on the same side? Does it make them feel like, you know, you could have your arm around them and you're guiding them forward across the finish line, battling everything that's being thrown at them? Or does it feel like you're on opposite sides of the table in some kind of deal, some kind of negotiation, some kind of sales process? So just look at that. Step back as much as you can, or even after you get done with your calls, your meetings, and just take a few minutes to reflect and then write down, like, what kind of language you use. I language, we language, you language. What does that look like? And then, depending on what you get from that, how can you shift it? If you're using a lot of I language, which means it's all about you, how can you shift that? How can you say we? How can you say our? How can you make it more inclusive where it doesn't feel like you versus them? It's you and them. Right? If you had any kind of relationship in your life where it's that same thing, right? What do we want to do? We could go do this. We could do that. Or I want to do this, or I want us to do this, or whatever that looks like. So just take a look at that. That's it for today. Kind of kept it focused and short. I appreciate it. If you want more of this information, again, a lot of this is coming from the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. Like I said, it's available on Amazon, hard copy, as well as Audible. You can also get it directly via authenticpersuasion.com, and you buy it through there, and I'll send you a signed copy. And then if you want more information like this, more things that could help you with your sales career, your selling effectiveness, or if you're running a team and you want some more guidance for this, make sure to check out jasoncutter.com. I have a lot of resources on there and some programs where you can, you know, reach out to me and we can talk about ways to train your team to help you build a better scalable sales operation. There's a lot of things that I do for clients just to help them sell and be more effective. And sometimes it's new ideas that people have never heard of before. Sometimes it's a reminder and a refresher, and do some great workshops with companies where that's super fun, where people are doing well on the team. And it's just a reminder, they're sharpening their swords and you know, getting more and more effective. Sometimes remembering things that they forgot that they used to do that was effective in the past. So I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're watching this on any of the platforms, please make sure to either like, to share, to subscribe. If you haven't yet, make sure to check out the YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Jason Cutter, find the channel on there. I'm putting out lots of videos all the time. Really excited for this sixth season of the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you like podcasts, make sure to check that out as well and download that. It's on all the platforms. Really great stuff. I'm really excited about the variety of episodes I have. It's 5 days a week. from replays of this training to solo episodes to clips of past content that I've done to my, you know, part one and part two of my guest episodes. This past week was Craig Radford. And that was an amazing conversation. It's actually, I will say, because I've done a lot of podcasts, a lot of guest episodes, it's one of the ones that I'm most proud of and most excited about because it doesn't fit the norm of what you would think in a podcast. I don't think it's revolutionary, but having Craig on the show for me was amazing for many different reasons and meant a lot to me. And I'm excited to get his message out there because there's a lot of stuff in part one and even more in part two, which is the after show. So if you haven't checked it out, please check it out and then support him and really get that kind of message out. Here's the punchline, not the punchline. Here's the basis of it is Craig is deaf. He works for a all deaf company that focuses on customer service and sales for deaf customers of their clients. So they're an outsourced contact center. And it's things you wouldn't think about. It's a challenge that most people aren't aware of unless you face something like that yourself. And I think there's a lot of great lessons to take from that. So I just wanted to use this time here to promote that even more and make sure you listen and support him and support more stuff like that, where people who have disabilities are getting the service they want. They're getting the support. They're dealing with companies that actually care about them and what their needs might be and how to serve them best. One of the biggest things, now I'm on a roll. One of the biggest things that I notice is a lot of people in sales sell everybody based on what they think is right, what they want, and they build sales processes for them. Right. And where I see that as a mistake is companies on one end of the spectrum of the other, which is one end, they are not they only have phone. They don't care about text. They don't care about email. They only want to talk to people on the phone, but that's not where people want to be met. People want to be met on text first sometimes, or email or chat. And so they want to have that interaction leading to a phone call. And then I see the other extreme, which is tech companies, which don't have a single phone number. They don't want to talk to anybody. They're created by either people who want to be rich billionaires, of a public company, and they don't want anything to slow them down, and they want to be as scalable as possible. And that doesn't mean, that means not having phones and not having call centers and not having that kind of level of service or sales. Or it's founded by tech people who don't want to use the phone, don't like using the phone themselves. And they just think that no one else is going to want to use the phone. And then they're not really serving that market as well. When I talk about what Craig is offering and what Craig's company does, it's that same thing where how many of you out there, if you run a company, how many of you are missing out on those customers that you're not serving fully in a way that they want to be served. So again, I loved the conversation I had with Craig. It was so amazing. So make sure to check that out. And on that note, I am done. Thank you for tuning into session 38 of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Sessions. Whether you watch this live on any of the platforms, you caught the replay, or you're listening to the podcast, I appreciate you being here. Make sure to share this message. Thank you for being a part of this journey as we shift sales from being this dirty word to something the world trusts and respects. While at the same time, my mission is also to help you close more deals and make more money. Until next time, thanks for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.